This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. They've become YouTube stars, big, slimy, fat Asian carp, leaping into boats, actually resulting in broken bones as they come flailing into the boat of some poor person who just wanted to enjoy a little time on the water. The headlines about Asian carp seem to be getting more and more ominous as those carp make their way up the Mississippi, getting closer to the Great Lakes. All week long, Michigan Radio's Rebecca Williams has been taking a closer look at Asian carp. Rebecca joins us now. Rebecca, first, when we talk about Asian carp, exactly what are we talking about?
So when we say Asian carp, we're talking about four different species. The bighead carp, the silver carp, those are the YouTube sensations, the ones that jump, the black carp and the grass carp. Now, bighead and silvers are the two species that officials are the most concerned about.
You are our Asian carp czarina, and you know this is an environmental story that's really been building for quite a while, isn't it?
It has. Asian carp have actually been in the States since the 1970s. They were brought in by an Arkansas fish farmer, but they were brought in actually for use in research ponds and then eventually also in fish farming. At some point, they got out.
They got out.
And they've been moving north up the Mississippi River system since.
And it seems that the drumbeats of alarm have gotten greater as they get closer to the Great Lakes. Is that a correct impression?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think, you know, we've been talking about this for several years, that Asian carp are getting close to the Great Lakes. So the question is, what will they do if they get in? What will it take for them to make a home here, get comfortable here, and then what might happen?
As you've been exploring in your reports, there does not seem to be a great amount of agreement between bureaucrats and scientists. Really, how worried should the public be about the possibility of Asian carp coming into the Great Lakes?
I mean, you're right. We're hearing a big spectrum of opinions. There are bureaucrats and some people in some environmental groups that are talking about a devastating effect on a $7 billion fishery, and then billions of dollars in tourism, and they're worried about silver carp jumping into boats when they talk about tourism. But in the scientific community, there is a more moderate view generally. There's the consensus that Lake Erie is probably the most hospitable for Asian carp. It's warm, and carp like warm water, and they need a lot of food. So they need a lot of plankton to do well. And so generally, the consensus is that they'll do well in Lake Erie. Also probably well in certain bays. So Green Bay, Saginaw Bay, places where it's warmer.
Places where people might like to go out and fish and boat.
Right, right. So there could be some conflicts potentially, especially in western Lake Erie.
Researchers are trying to track them. How do they track them?
So one of the ways that researchers have been tracking Asian carp is with something called environmental DNA. And so what they do is they can take water samples and then test for traces of Asian carp. So things like scales, mucus, poop, things that come off of the carp. And the tricky thing here is that it's not certain if they have positive DNA hits, if that's a live carp or if the DNA somehow got carried by birds and brought from one water body to another. Or if it came, maybe a silver carp jumps onto a boat, and then the water comes off the deck of that boat and gets carried into another water body.
Where have we found DNA so far?
There have been continuous positive hits in the area, in the Chicago area. Some of these have been above a system of electric barriers that are intended to keep adult Asian carp from getting to Lake Michigan. There have also been recently some positive hits in Lake Erie. About 150 water samples were taken in July. 20 of those were positive hits for silver carp.
Which was alarming or was it not?
Well, the officials I talked to with the DNR in Ohio and in Michigan were surprised to find that. Now, they still don't know. Does that mean there are live carp? They're going to be doing some more testing and try to follow up there. They also did pretty extensive survey where they go out and they use something called electrofishing and they try to shock the carp out of the water and try to catch them in nets. The tricky thing is that silver carp are really hard to catch if there aren't very many of them.
All right.
And they tend to avoid nets.
And would that not also be a little hard on the fish you want to see in the waters if you're doing electroshocking?
Yeah, I mean, generally with electroshocking, you turn up a lot of fish that way.
Talk a little about this electric barrier. We've read about it. I think the general public's aware that there's this barrier trying to keep, you know, in the Chicago Canal to keep them out. It seems to be a fairly mixed view on whether that's an effective use of $20,000 a day.
It is. And so what this is, it's a system of electric barriers. There are three. And they are intended, it's electric pulses that go into the water. And if a fish and a big fish is swimming into that electric field, it doesn't feel very good. They turn around and go back the other way is the idea. The thing is that the Army Corps of Engineers has done tests to see how effective it is. And they say it is effective. It is working. But it's effective on fish that are bigger than 2 inches long. And so there are some scientists who are concerned that juvenile fish, juvenile carp, could swim through those barriers.
People who see these stories, it seems to be someone says it's a big problem. Someone else says, I don't think so. Reports are drawn up and submitted to Congress with plans of action, not acted on. Mm-hmm. All of that leads you to wonder, are we going to wake up in 20 years and say, why didn't we stop this? Because our Great Lakes are not what they should be. They've been ruined, possibly. Is that something that could happen?
Well, so here's where the scientific community has a more measured view. There is not a single scientist I've talked to who says we should let them in. Nobody is advocating that because they say that would be irresponsible. You don't want to let an invasive species in and just see what it does. But that being said, the majority of folks I talk to, majority of scientists I've talked to, don't think the entire fishery will be affected. So they're thinking most likely possibly negative impacts in Lake Erie and some bays, and possibly on sport fish like walleye and yellow perch. It's less clear whether salmon populations would be affected, and that's, of course, one of the most popular sport fish in the lakes.
Are there other tactics besides electric barriers that only keep out adult fish that scientists can use to help keep them at bay? Other approaches?
There have been some discussion and some research on sound barriers, acoustic barriers. One of the ways that's a possible route for these fish into the lakes is bait shops. And there are, when Asian carp are little, they look a lot like gizzard shad, which is a bait fish, a popular bait fish. So there's some concern that they could be accidentally introduced. The other major concern for introduction is intentional introduction. Somebody just taking Asian carp and putting them in the lake. There's also a market for Asian carp. Some Asian markets sell Asian carp, especially in places like Toronto. And so although it's illegal to move carp in the Great Lakes region, but for a lot of years it was legal.
In fact, you raise a question. I wondered, is there a market if they do come? Would it conceivably someone be able to make money catching and selling Asian carp? Are they edible?
They are edible. They are, in fact. And there are some businesses in Illinois that are catching them and harvesting them and shipping them to China and Europe and even some Los Angeles markets.
And have you ever tried it?
I have.
And don't tell me it tastes like chicken.
It does not taste like chicken.
What is it like?
You know, it was pretty mild. It was not fishy. The way I had it prepared was sort of like a crab cake. So there was some butter and some cream.
Okay.
You know, you mix those things in, it's kind of hard to tell. But it was pretty good.
Rebecca Williams brings us the Environment Report right here on Michigan Radio. And you can hear the next installment of her special report on Asian carp. It'll be coming up today at 5:45. Thank you very much.
Thank you.